time, your body starts to shiver, for no mortal can resist the evil of
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Hey, so this is Deadpan number 143. Thank you for listening. Welcome. I am your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. the King of Phrygia. And of course, I am the King of Phrygia because this, right here, this episode, number 143, the one you're listening to right now, in your earbuds right now, through your speakers, whatever, this is the final, that's it, no more, the absolute last flash in the pan. And wait, don't click stop. T. Morris and I, we talked a lot about Flash Gordon, but this episode is actually a huge tangent. It's a very geeky conversation, and it springboards at Flash Gordon. But again, as I said at the beginning of 142, I laugh my ass off listening to this stuff. And actually I have some excellent commentary from Rapid Eye to round out the Flash in the Pan. In addition to the Flash in the Pan content, though, something remarkable happened on the Deadpan boards today, actually. Whatever today is. And so we're going to have to call that out. Well, really what happened was a meme kind of got started where we were coming up with new Deadpan slogans. And in one day, we had about 800 comments. About 800, I believe it was. That's a rough estimate off the top of my head. We can go and fact check after this. But the point is, there was a buttload of comments. People just coming up with hilarious, clever ideas for the new Deadpan slogan. So to commemorate that, actually, going forward, I'd say feel free, look through that pool of hilarity on the comments for Deadpan number 142, I should say, and call in with some of your favorites. Tell me... it can be your own. That wouldn't be, an exercise in vanity. Tell me some of the ones that you thought were the most clever, even if it is your own or from other people. I won't actually read any of them off now because there were so many really funny ones that if I were to read them all, it would get even more tedious than this. And if I were to choose some of the funny ones, I would certainly omit some others that were absolutely hilarious. So send me that stuff. Send me your favorites. You can even email them to me if you don't have time to record, and I will read them, or record them and email me the file. That'd be at sphericaljackm@gmail.com, or voicemail them in, 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. All right, no more intro babble. Going to get right into the last bit of conversation about Flash Gordon between T. Morris and myself, and it goes into Beastmaster, and this is almost a spoiler. I'll just let you listen and hear all the twists and turns the conversation takes. And enjoy. As I say, I think it's kind of fun. Yep. Intro babble out of steam.
You are listening to Jack Mason's Deadpan. We are Deadpan. Deadpan is the way.
It's one of those wonderful 80s movies that you just you you watch it and you smile and you go, well, everybody's got great hair except for me. The cheesy, but this is done with a lot of love to the original comic book and serials. And I applaud it for that. If you're willing to turn your brain off for a couple of hours, this is what I've been doing it all day today. This is what I call good. This is a good laundry watch.
Yeah.
This is a good laundry watch. You know, you fold your laundry and you update your Twitter account to this movie.
Yes. Yeah. He's basically Beastmaster in a t-shirt. You know, that's really.
Yeah. That's true. wow. Beastmaster. You know, okay. Ooh. Beastmaster, or Flash Gordon? Beastmaster, Flash Gordon, which one would you choose?
You know, they're both really, they're both so damn hokey. And they're both so much fun. They're both 80s fun. You know, you really, Beastmaster did have Tonya Roberts going for it.
Yes, it did. I'll give you that.
And those bird guys. Actually, you know, this we could probably talk for another hour now that we've introduced the Beastmaster element.
Why not? I mean, you got a lot of material out of the last Watchpalooza, and you could always edit this down if you want to. But yeah, a Beastmaster versus Gordon.
Yeah,
wow,
that's
a hard call. It's a hard call.
Because what's, you know, most memorable stuff about Beastmaster was the stuff around him, was those creepy bird guys who would turn you into, like, milk and drop your bones out.
And the bones would be out. Yeah. And you also had John Amos. Stamos or John Amos? The guy from Good Times. He was in there.
Yeah, it wasn't John Stamos. That's an entirely different
No, John
actor.
Stamos. Shit, you're right. That's somebody entirely different. Very white.
It's very, very Zmed-like. Actor,
very Zmed. He is the carbon copy Zmed. He is the Zmed wannabe.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. Tonya Roberts going for it, and that's roughly about it. You know, Mark Singer. Wow, man, he was definitely hitting the gym during that movie.
And the needles. He was, you know, that was doing the 20cc needle press, I think, too.
Pretty
the
much.
Steroids.
Oh man. Ouch, that's cold.
Rip Torn was actually a fun bad guy, but he was no Ming. He was no Max.
He was no Max von Sydow. He was no. I mean, Rip Torn's good people, but he's no Max von Sydow. You know, and I'll give you something else too. I think you know, while you do get a little more, while Tonya Roberts is awfully easy on the eyes. I think you get a little more boobage action in Flash Gordon. Get a little more skin in Flash Gordon.
I beg to differ. And actually, you know, we'll have our experts out there. But I remember, like, because I don't think there is actually any real nudity in Flash Gordon.
No, there's no nipplage. I didn't say nipplage. Okay. I didn't say nipplage. I said boobage. You know, you get Clivaggio Supreme in Flash Gordon. There's a lot of chicks walking around in two-piecers in Flash Gordon.
Yeah,
in Beastmaster,
including
Beastmaster,
Dale,
I think.
You know, Dale
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Beastmaster, that scene where he spies them swimming. I mean, for I guess I was 8, that was a big deal. You know, it's like, wow.
That was a big deal. Yeah, but you know, that's, like I said, Flash Gordon, that was a big deal for me at that point, too. Wow. but you know, I hate to say this though. I don't think I think there was more skin in Flash Gordon, and then of course, you know, you got a little more whippage action for both sides of the fence. But I think the majority of the nudity in Beastmaster did go to Mark Singer. I hate to say that, but you know, the guy who remained topless for most of the movie was in fact Mark Singer. Now Beastmaster did have the hawk and the tiger and the ferrets going for it. You know,
that's
they
right.
had that. You don't really, you know, what do you have in Flash Gordon? You got the midgets. That's a little rough.
Right. And the thing inside the tree stump, but that wasn't really his friend, you know.
No, it wasn't. But see, again, point to Flash Gordon. You get those great lines in Flash Gordon, like, drive! You know, you don't have that in Beastmaster.
No,
you don't
really
have a lot of the great quotes that you don't have. You know, like when Flash Gordon introduces himself, Flash Gordon, quarterback, New York Jets, and he says it with such conviction. That's probably the best line he delivers in the entire movie, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I guess another way to look at it when you're comparing these two, for these damn kids today, you know, in their fancy pants and their fancy iPods and things, for like a jaded hipster, you know, kid who's like late teens or early 20s, they would probably be more disgusted with Beastmaster than they would be with Flash Gordon. They would probably get more of a kick out of Flash Gordon.
I think they would too. I would agree.
Because we grew up with it, you know, and we, of course, at 8, you're really open to a lot more silliness. You know, we watched G.I. Joe after school every day. I mean, we were tolerant of a lot of nonsense. But, you know,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
For the more jaded kind of generation now, I think They would have more, because I think Flash Gordon is more laughable. The Beastmaster's pretty damn laughable, but you're right. I mean, there's nothing,
and
you can't quote it. And also the music is nothing, you know.
No, the music is very canned.
Why, sure. Climb into my spoon.
Keyboard click. Since we had so many comments, there will be two Count Laughter readings of comments in this episode. The Energizer Bunny says, "Ack, found an eight-legged enemy in one of the storage cupboards. I guess that cupboard won't be cleaned until after hubby gets home." CJ says, "Cream cheese with a slice of tomato and a slice of Munster on a bagel is made of win. Little bit of salt, too. Mmm, salt bagels are made of win as well." Johnny Null says, "I've heard much recently of the Star Wars Christmas special. I'm glad that I never saw it." John Bowes says, "Ah, yes, I meant to share the Nookie Reader observation here, but FPM was down, ellipsis." Pretzel Bite.
The other thing that Beastmaster has going against it, the Dino De Laurentiis quit while he was ahead. He did the one Flash Gordon, he was done. But they did, like, if I remember correctly, they did like two Beastmaster sequels. And I tried watching the second one, and it was so god-awful. I was like, I can't watch this. And then when I heard they did a third one called Beastmaster Through the Portal of Time, I went, oh, no freaking way. No way am I going to do that one.
That was the one with Beastmaster in 1980s New York or something.
Like 1990s New York or 1990, I think it was 1990s LA. But oh. Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And you know, when you think about, and that's the other thing too, is that, you know, you can have a lot of fun with Flash Gordon, and you can have fun with Beastmaster. But when it comes to the sequels, yeah, Flash Gordon's quit while they were ahead. And I think the other thing too, that while you know, you think about the competition around Flash Gordon for that campy, and let me stress that campy style of sci-fi, there was very little competition. Whereas with Beastmaster, you have a lot of good fantasy movies coming out around that time, and even the campy ones were better than Beastmaster. The one that pops to mind for me, do you remember from the 80s, a campy fantasy movie called The Sword and the Sorcerer?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
You would remember it because the hero had this big two-handed sword, but it was three blades. So he could cut close really well on the shave, you know? I mean, this was like the Schick razor of super blades. And not only did he have three blades on this two-handed mother, but these blades actually could fire as missiles.
It sounds like Kroll.
No. Actually, if I were to rank it, I would put Sword and the Sorcerer at the top of the list. I would put Kroll. Yeah, Kroll would definitely be third. And then the middle will be Beastmaster. Because, now there was another movie, Crawl. Wow. But that's a difference, though, between a movie like Crawl and a movie like Flash Gordon. I can watch Flash Gordon now and go, man, this is fun to watch. I tried to do that with Crawl, and I wanted to do that with Crawl. Because, I mean, my boy Liam Neeson is in this movie.
I don't remember that. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Liam, I'll go you one better. You know who else is in that movie? Robbie Coltrane. A very young, baby-faced Robbie Coltrane. Hagrid from the Harry Potter films.
Right.
Yeah. He's in this movie. Yeah. I mean, oh, man. Just some really, yeah. And it's unwatchable. I'm just like, man, this movie could have been really cool, but it is just awful. Yeah. I mean, it is just awful. And but I will say this: killer soundtrack, Oh yeah,
I haven't seen Krull since the 80s.
But the movie sucks. But you can't say that about Flash Gordon. The movie does not suck. It's right. Dreadful in the first 20 minutes, but then after that 20-minute hump, you're like, yeah, this is kind of fun.
Hey, Jack, Rapid Eye here with my contribution for the Flash of Palooza. Let's see, when Flash Gordon first came out, I was a freshman in high school living in a little town in northwest Colorado. and they had one theater in the town and had one screen, and they'd only show one movie a week, and they'd show it on like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it was a big deal. Everybody would turn out to watch the movie. And I remember when Flash Gordon was due to come out, I saw the preview. I was pretty excited about it. At the time, I was a big sci-fi geek. You know, I loved Trek. I was watching the reruns and Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, the original series. And, you know, reading Heinlein and Asimov, and I was just really stoked for it. It looked like a fun sci-fi movie. And I remember watching it on the big screen. It had some neat visual effects. Dale, you know, she's easy on the eyes, but, man, Ming's daughter, she was smoking. But I walked out of that theater just going, what the fuck was that? I just did not get it. It went way over my head. Completely missed it. And, you know, 14-year-old kid and campy, I just didn't get it. You know, I wasn't until maybe 4 or 5 years later when I was in college and we watched it on VHS that, you know, I went, oh, now I see what they did there. I guess, you know, it's like a lot of things. You kind of got to grow into it. It's not something that the first time you see it when you're a kid that it makes a lot of sense, but as you get a little bit older and your sense of humor and your sense of irony and all the other stuff gets a little more developed, maybe then it makes a little more sense. So, that's my contribution for Flashapalooza, and hopefully I was deadpan enough. Wrap it out.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's podcast show. Deadpan is the way.
Yeah, what's also interesting about that time, just to kind of tie in the discussion here, is that, yes, you know...
Do we have to?
Well... to kind of tie this all together in a bizarre little knot. You had the moon landing, which we were living science fiction. You had 2001, which made science fiction art. You know,
it was actually getting a second wind because in the 80s, well, right after Star Wars, you had Star Trek: The Motion Picture, which is not a bad science fiction movie, but it's not a good Trek movie.
Exactly.
It's not a good Star Trek movie. And then Star Trek 2 came out, and that was when they were like, okay, this is what we need to do for good Trek movies.
Yes.
And I think I want to say, yeah.
Then they forgot and made Star Trek 5.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, this is science fiction was really, especially space science fiction. I mean, now people don't really want to watch anything in space. I mean, we've kind of fallen out of favor. We've lost interest in space stuff for the most part.
Do you think? I would disagree.
Well, as a mainstream culture, I'd say you can certainly, because Firefly, of course, was really good, but I think it's culturally we're not as excited by space. I think we kind of, I mean, I've said this before in Deadpan. I think we ejaculated on the moon and we were done. We were like, okay, you know, space is done. You know, boring. You know, nobody. Oh, big deal! Space shuttle takes off. That really only makes headlines, unfortunately, now if something bad happens.
Right, right. Well, I think a lot of that also had to do with the climate. I mean, with the race to the moon, that's what it was. It was a race. We had to beat the Soviets to the moon. Right. Now we don't have anybody to beat, unless, of course, China suddenly says, "Hey, we're going to go to the moon." If China says we're going to go to the moon, well, then we're going to bust our humps to get there. If all of a sudden the Middle Eastern countries, if Afghanistan and, you know, the Taliban, if they were to say, you know what, we're not going to try to change this world anymore, we're going to go and colonize the moon, then you're going to see a space race on your hands. But until that happens, you're right in some respects, but I don't think we've lost interest I don't think we've lost interest in space. I think it's getting harder and harder to impress people when it comes to space epics.
Yeah, and, actually, that's a fair assertion. I think that's a good way of putting it. I think you're right. It's harder because of just what Star Wars is. It's kind of hard to do. I mean, and it's been done very well in a bunch of different ways, and it's hard to say, well, this is really, you know, I have this new space thing that you're going to love, but, you know, forget all the other stuff you've ever seen. Forget Babylon and Star Trek and Star Wars and everything else, because this is new and different. People are gonna
but
go
I
like,
think, okay. And I, you see, I think that's the challenge. I think the challenge is for not just media outlets, but for writers in general. Writers in general have to, if they're going to set something in outer space, there's got to be something really dynamic about it. That was what, in my opinion, was part of the appeal of Farscape. because they were dealing with because the Henson Company was behind it, they could make the aliens look like aliens, not people in rubber suits. And then, you know, with Star Trek, you know, the Next Gens and the other series, they were like, what can we do to make this truly unique, truly our own, or truly different? And then you've got, and you know, and also you've got the little hits like District 9. I mean, District 9 really captured people in ways that the studios did not see coming. And I think the same thing applies still in our fantasy. You know, when we do fantasy epics, you know, back in the 80s, of course, we had a lot of fantasy epics because Dungeons and Dragons had come out and it was hot. And, you know, and while
Conan,
we had
Conan, I think, is the Conan. Reason why we started to
see. Oh, man. I tell you, if you were to say name three of the great fantasy epics of all time, I would rank up in the top three. Dragon Slayer. Slow in some parts, but man, that is just a beautiful. That movie holds up pretty darn well. Pretty
darn. I
haven't
seen it in years, but yeah, I remember enjoying it.
Freaking Dragon Slayer, and then you got Conan, and I pray they never reboot or remake it. But do you remember John Borman's Excalibur?
Yeah, I've seen. You know, it's kind of challenging to get through, but I've seen it. It's a classic. It's required.
And again, you know, you got a young Liam Neeson in there. You got a young Patrick Stewart. Gabriel Byrne is in it. Nigel Terry, Nigel Hawthorne. I mean, just some incredible people. And they did this beautiful film.
Mangan, you've really got your shit together. Jack Mangan, you've got your shit together. Spherical Tome, 16 pieces at a time. Dirk Moonfire, each story is divine. Mangan, you've got your shit together.
I'm sorry. Another one that I almost missed. Great fantasy epic of the 80s was The Dark Crystal.
Yeah, The Dark Crystal, which, of course, when you started talking about Henson, that did pop into mind with Dark Crystal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And actually, I don't know if you know, I used to work for the Skeksis. I used to work for those guys.
Did you work for them?
Yeah.
Did they drain the life out of you every day?
Yes, exactly. And I would go and, you know, serve them while they sucked out my essence.
Ew, I don't want to know how. Don't tell me how. Must have out third eye. But Jack always came home with a smile on his face. Anyway.
that was where I was kind of going with that, is that Flash Gordon came out at a time when there was a resurgence of the two geek genres. There was fantasy and science fiction films were kind of seeing a resurgence. And I think, although I still think, as much fun as the Conan movies are, and of course there's Dragon Slayer and Beastmaster, I think we never really had a truly great fantasy movie ever until The Lord of the Rings.
I would disagree with that.
Why, sure! Why, sure!
Climb into my spoon!
Climb into my spoon!
LeJohn from Chandler says, Deadpan, kills goats at 500 yards with mine bullets. Ed from Texas says, I have been and always shall be, ellipsis, your deadpan. Reaper says, deadpan, can smell your fear. Ditto says, deadpan, if you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? Just a Joe says, deadpan, it rubs the lotion on its skin, ellipsis. Incidentally, that's 10 different comments and 10 different commenters.
Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
I would disagree with that. I would say The Lord of the Rings. I would say the Lord of the Rings are definitely those three films are great epics. They are great epics. But I don't classify those as fantastic fantasy films. I classify those as fantastic films. Just bar none, like fantastic films. Like Serenity. I don't think Serenity is a great sci-fi movie. I think it's just a great movie. Okay. I just think it's a great movie with terrific dialogue and just really gripping, just this beautiful gripping drama with these characters that I care about. Granted, you know, it does help when you've done a backup and you've looked at the original series, but still, that was just a great, that was just a very good movie. And I think Flash Gordon is definitely is one of the more fun movies of, you know, I would say Flash Gordon for its time was kind of like the I'm trying to think Flash Gordon in the 80s is like Reign of Fire in this day and age. In the 21st century. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. That's the dragon one in the post-apocalyptic future that was caused by dragons. And you could see where they ran out of money. You saw exactly where they ran out of money. But I could watch that. I could watch Reign of Fire and enjoy it for what it was. And I just enjoyed the fact that it had this lovely twist on, you know, yes, we're in a post-apocalyptic, you know, dystopia, and it was caused by dragons reawakening after centuries of being asleep. You know? Okay, I'll roll with that. You know, and I can watch that movie and enjoy it. Could I do that with Terminator Salvation? Probably not. I saw Terminator Salvation. I liked it. It made me smile once at this one particular moment. But apart from that, I would describe the movie as incredibly forgettable. Incredibly forgettable.
I guess I can probably rent it now. I forgot it exists. I didn't see it, and I found it forgettable.
Yes.
but you know, actually, that is actually going to be my final thought about Flash. I know Flash Gordon is considered to be a failure as a movie. It didn't do well at the box office, but you know, it's one of the most, as far as, and again, of course, it's known as a cult movie now, a cult classic.
Yeah.
But it's probably the one of the absolute most widely remembered and unforgettable cult classics or box office failures ever. I mean,
Fight
Club and
I mean Ishtar for a movie,
for for all the wrong reasons, Ishtar, but Fight Club, is memorable, even though it was a box office failure. It's memorable because of just what a moving and, you know, fucked up movie it was. But Flash Gordon,
oh, yeah.
I don't even know why. I mean, Flash Gordon, I guess because a lot of us really did, as a kid, I just would have thought, you know, I saw the very last scene where he grabs the ring, and I saw, okay, there are going to be more. I mean, it was a fun, it was a big deal. Every single person knew about, was aware of Flash Gordon, and it was not a movie that everyone, it wove its way, like I would say, since you brought up Reign of Fire, that's not a movie, I mean, you could mention that now in mixed company, and there will be people who have never even, people who completely, it's gone from their minds. But Flash Gordon, in 1993, you could have said to, you know, someone from the generation older than us, just your average mainstream moviegoer, like, hey, remember that Flash Gordon movie? And they go, yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, probably not much beyond, oh, yeah, I remember that. But I think that had a lot to do also, though. Queen, I think, kept it going because we all listened to our Queen Greatest Hits CD, and, of course, that came on, and that was a fun song. So I think
the song
helped keep that movie alive and kept it going. And, you know, and deservedly so. Queen, I think, is the relief pitcher here that comes in and gets the save. Because, yes,
yeah.
Without Queen, this movie, even as good as all the costumes are and as good as the movie looks and as wonderful as the supporting cast is, I think it wouldn't have succeeded without Queen. So Queen actually gets the, you know, Freddie Mercury, there you go, he gets the credit.
And while you evoke the name of Ishtar, and yet, you know, see, when I think of Ishtar, I think of Battlefield Earth. I think of movies that, you know, had a lot of money involved in them, and they had a lot of talent involved in them, and they were just duds. And you know, I mean, I tried watching, you know, just in the clips of Ishtar that I saw, I was like, my God, this is just horrible. This is horrible. But then again, I'm not the biggest fan of Warren Beatty. So, to me, the fact that movie flopped didn't surprise me at all, because you've got Dustin Hoffman, who is the uber method actor, which kind of drives me nuts from a thespian point of view. And then you've got Warren Beatty, who is, you know, he can't go anywhere without somebody having him say, you look beautiful, sir. You know, I mean, so I have a tough enough time with I have a tough enough time with Ishtar to begin with, but I think that Ishtar was a failure. I think Battlefield Earth was a failure because, again, it's one of those movies that you see it and you pray you never see it again. But I think what's funny about Flash Gordon is that, yes, financially in the 80s, it was a failure. And yet, it got re-released under the Savior of the Universe edition. And on top of all that, you've got this wonderful music from Queen, and people still talk about that movie. And people will still watch the movie because they're just like, yeah, this is good fun. This is goofy. This is goofy, silly 80s fun. And you roll with it. And I think that's the difference, is that while Flash Gordon was a financial failure in the 80s, you cannot say it was forgettable. Whether it was the visuals, whether it was Maximum on Seedow, or whether it was the music from Queen, people remember Flash Gordon. And again, it proves it on Twitter. When I got the comments, the comments from people going, Flash, King of the Impossible. You know, I mean, people remember that. And to me, I think Flash Gordon could really be looked at as one of those, as a true cult classic. It's a successful failure. And it's probably made its money back. It's probably made its money back.
Yeah,
but I just think it's awesome.
They can finally make that sequel. Because you're right, they probably finally made their money back.
Well, they probably could make the sequel. Unfortunately, I think that sequel was the short-lived TV show Flash Gordon, which if I remember correctly, and I pray they had a loophole, I remember they like Sci-Fi said that they bought 3 seasons of that show unseen. And I'm like, well, that probably taught them not to do that ever again, because, man, the weirdest thing about the Flash Gordon TV show, and I remember talking about this with John Smarr on Survival Guide, I said...
With who? I said, John who?
Smarr!
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Dr. Syphilis. When I remember talking to him, and we were talking about Flash Gordon, and I said, is it just me, or were all the good scenes of Flash Gordon happening in the kitchen? That it seemed like all the really good scenes happened when people were in the kitchen. The TV series, yeah. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. And it's weird stuff. But hey, you know. But again, that show was still pretty. That show was still pretty forgettable. But Sam J. Jones, Melody Anderson, Brian Blessed, and Timothy Dalton, and our boy Seedow. Nah, you can't forget performances like that. Just pure campy gold.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But I would say we're ready, and there's been enough time for someone to set out with the same intention and the same heart and the same idea. And I think we're ready for a new update, a new
with Simon Pegg as Flash Gordon. Simon Pegg would make a hell of Flash Gordon, I think.
As a Scottish Flash Gordon, he'd have to roid up a little bit, you know.
I think
we're ready for a new Flash Gordon. That's my true final thought.
I will leave with the final thought that. I do not want to see a reboot of Flash Gordon. We've already saw that, and it was not a good reboot. We didn't get Ming the Merciless. We got Ming the Slightly Miffed in the reboot of Flash Gordon. I don't want a reboot. I don't want a reimagining. I want a true remake of Flash Gordon, and I think it can be done. I think it could be done, and I think it could be a lot of fun. I think it could be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thank you, T, for coming on and talking Flash Gordon with me and giving me a whole bunch of stuff to edit. And and thanks. And, you know, feel free to take a minute to talk to people about other interesting things you have going on right now. I know you have quite a bit.
Yeah. There's of course, you know, tmorris.com. And you can also check out my brand new podcast, which is the companion podcast for all the Twitter, and coming soon, Sam's Teach Yourself Twitter in 10 Minutes, both available at bookstores everywhere. It is found at birdhouserules.com. I need to talk to you about that, by the way, Jack. I need to get an ID from you for that. And let's see. And so birdhouserules.com, it's a 10-minute podcast, and it's just an addendum for the books. And that's about it. I'm gonna end it there, bro. So you know, and thank you again for having me on this Palooza. Keep me in the loop. I want to know what's coming up next on the next Palooza from the Deadpanapalooza.
All right, excellent. Well, yeah, of course you're always welcome to play, and you're always welcome on Deadpan, really, for what, you know, to come and play anytime, whether it be Palooza or just whatever.
Oh, you bet, so. You bet, man. When I think when my personal dust settles around here, we might have another bromance kind of talk on the Deadpan. How about that?
All right. Well, we don't have to get bromantic, but
okay. That's fair.
All right. Well, thank you, T. Thank you very much.
All right. Great. Thanks, Jack.
The subject, Jack Mangan, was booked under Section 601, in danger of leading an idle, dissolute, or immoral life.
So that's that. We close the chapter on another Palooza. Next up will be Duel of the Fates. We'll be doing that for a little while. And you know what? We actually, what's interesting about that is that there is voting open for who will be in the Duel of the Fates tournament. We had over 1,400 comments on Deadpan number 142. But for the voting for Duel of the Fates, we've actually only gotten one vote. And that was for Milton Berle. So what I'm going to do is encourage you to head over to... check it out on the website. There's a SurveyMonkey link. You can find a link to that at jackmangan.com, or hell, email me. And go and vote for who will be in the next Deadpan, just for listening to Deadpan and being part of a fantastic community. Thanks to T. Morrison, all of you who helped to make Flash in the Pan the biggest one yet, the biggest Palooza yet. And yeah, that's it. Thank you. Again, check out the meme. If you missed it somehow, then go and dig through the comments on the episode number 142. Lots of fun ideas, lots of clever wit, and contact me with some of your favorites, and we'll run those on future Deadpan episodes. All right, going to select some music and get the hell out of here. Yes, another thing, future episodes probably won't be pushing 40 minutes. All right, good night, Mongo. I'm not coming back after the...
Got a little notebook with my poems in. Got a bag, a toothbrush, and a comb in. When I'm a good dog, they sometimes throw me a bone. Those swollen hand blues. Got 13 channels of shit on TV to choose from. I've got electric lights, and I got second sight. Got amazing powers of observation. I try to get through, telephone to you. There'll be nobody home. Fingers, got a silver spoon on a chain. Got a grand piano to prop up my mortal remains. Got wild staring eyes. I got a strong urge to fly, and I got nowhere to fly to. Thank you.
pick up the phone. Still nobody home.
Oh yeah, have a happy and safe and fun Halloween.
You ignorant simp.